Before reflecting on today's scripture readings, I'd like to welcome Father Phil Furlano and the members of Communion and Liberation to our Mass this evening. Communion and Liberation is one of the movements, lay movements in the church, founded some years ago by Father Giussani in Italy. And it's kind of a support and prayer group reflecting on Christian life. And it looks like we have members of it probably right here, because there's a new group of people sitting here that doesn't usually sit here. So how many of you are Communion and Liberation? Raise your hands. Okay. Well, welcome here, and you're celebrating the ninth anniversary of the death of the founder of the community today, and we join you in prayer for him. We hope you'll be a saint someday. But more importantly, we hope you'll be a saint someday. That would please Father Giussani very much. Now, today's scripture readings. There is a constant theme in all three readings today that is pretty much summarized in a line from each of the readings, and I'd like to repeat those lines for you now. The first reading is from the book of Leviticus, and we hear God saying to his people through Moses the following words: Speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In our second reading, which is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, we hear this: For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. And then another version of the same thought is found in the final words of today's gospel reading, where Jesus says to his disciples, to us, So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. So God is calling us today to reflect on what it means to be holy and to imitate God our Father, who is holy. Now, in order for us to understand how difficult this is, God also gives us another message in the second reading from the letter to the Corinthians. Listen to what St. Paul says. He's speaking to Christians, and he says this: Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. So what that tells us is that the way we ordinarily think, because you and I are children of this world, the way we ordinarily think is what? Foolishness in the eyes of God. So in order to discover what it means to be holy or perfect is in some ways an effort to discover what it means to be foolish, at least from the perspective of the world around us. So we go to today's first reading and look at it again. God teaches us through the lips of Moses. You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. That's a pretty difficult thing not to do, because it's rather natural for us to hate people who cause us problems. I was thinking today, as I was looking for an example, of the people in Ukraine. If you're paying close attention to the news, you see there's all kinds of turmoil there, where a number of the Ukrainians have been killed in protesting against their government. And I imagine there's a lot of hate in the hearts of the families of those who were killed towards the government and towards the other side, and vice versa. Otherwise, why would this kind of thing be happening? And humans tend to quite easily move in the direction of hating others. And when they do that, two bad things happen. The person who is the object of the hate, of course, suffers from the hatred of the person who hates her. But the person who hates is also changed. You know, for you and I to have hearts that hate other people is for us to be changed in some kind of very, very fundamental way from the way God would want us to be. I mean, to be a woman who hates another person is not to be a loving, kind woman. It's contrary to the nature of a woman. And the same thing is true about men. For men to hate other men is contrary to the natural plan that God has for us. But the world around us thinks it's appropriate to hate people in the right circumstances, right? And you have to pay people back if they hurt you. And that's why there's so many struggles in the world between governments, one government and the other. And into all of this, God says very simply, you shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against any of your people. That's interesting. The word cherish means to love, right? We say we cherish one another. But sometimes human beings cherish grudges. You know, we just love to be mad at somebody else. It somehow gives us satisfaction. But that's not the way God is. You know, God doesn't hate, and God doesn't cherish grudges against us, because if he did, we would be in deep trouble, all of us, because we all deserve the disappointment, if nothing else, of God. At the end of this reading, Moses tells his people, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I mean, the Lord God is giving us a command that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's a pretty big thing, right? Because we love ourselves a whole lot. And if we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, that means we're supposed to love our neighbor with all that we are. Now let's look at the teachings of Jesus in today's gospel. You might remember that last week I talked about, if you were here last week, that one of the objects of St. Matthew's gospel is to present Jesus as the new Moses. Moses gave the law of God to the Jewish people, and Jesus comes along and gives us an interpretation of that law, which calls us to a deeper kind of fidelity to love. And that's what's happening again in today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, you have heard that it was said by Moses, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, what that means is if someone pokes out your eye, you poke out their eye. You balance things out by paying them back in the same kind of way they've done some damage to you. Or if someone knocks your tooth out, what do? You knock their tooth out too to pay them back, to balance things so that everybody is satisfied. Now Jesus said, you've heard it said in the past, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, now this is the command of Jesus, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Wow, what a contrast. And then he uses three examples that we probably don't understand unless we've studied the scriptures closely. Listen to the examples he gives. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. Now, what does that mean? It was a great insult among the Jews if someone would strike you with the back of their hand. Somehow that was perceived as different than if someone smacked you straightforward like that. Perhaps it's because it's kind of a gesture of dismissing people, you know. So when Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, which would mean being using the back of your hand, because as I'm facing you, if I use the back of my hand, I'm hitting you on that side of your face, right? On the right side of your face. So Jesus is saying, if someone insults you as much as they could, turn the other cheek as well. The second example he gives, if anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. A Jewish man in those days wore two garments, The inner garment was a tunic, much like this white alb that I'm wearing. And then they wore a cloak on the outside. And according to the law of the Jews, if you took someone to court, you could demand that they give you the tunic, but they could never demand that you give them the coat, because your coat is all you had to keep you warm when the weather was cold. But nonetheless, Jesus says, if someone takes you to court because you owe them something and they want your tunic, give them your cloak as well. And then the third example Jesus uses here. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go 2 miles. The Roman soldiers who occupied Israel at the time of Jesus had a rule that they could ask any civilian to carry their baggage, their armor, whatever it was, for a mile, and then they had to take it themselves. So if you were an Israeli citizen and a Roman soldier said, carry my luggage for a mile, you had to do that. And Jesus says, if someone requires you to do that, not only do it for 1 mile, but do it for 2. So you see, Jesus is being very radical in response to that commandment, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, by telling us that we should be extraordinarily generous in our forgiveness and our love for one another. Now, you know, you also remember that Jesus is often speaking with hyperbole, which is using exaggerated language to make a point. And so he's not using these specifically as the example of what we should do as Christians, but what he's saying to us is that we have to be extraordinarily generous in responding to others, even when they do bad things to us. And then a second commandment, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, that's not in the Old Testament. The Old Testament tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We just heard that from the book of Leviticus. But apparently it was a saying among the people of Jesus' time that that applied only to their fellow Jews and not to the Gentiles, who were their natural enemy. But in contradistinction to that saying, Jesus says the following, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be children of your heavenly Father. You're imitating God. You know, we're called to be his children. And if God is merciful, then what is that responsorial song we sang today? How does that go? She's not ready for this. But the Lord is kind and merciful. That's true. I mean, that's the way the Lord is. When is he kind and merciful? Always. And that means those of us who want to be disciples of Jesus, who want to be children of our Heavenly Father, must. Oh no, you have to sing it for us. She's got the good voice, I don't. And it would be grand if we could go home tonight with that on our mind. You know, sometimes you have a song in your mind, you can't get rid of it. Everywhere you go, the song is in your mind. Well, that should be the song that's in the heart of all of us Christians, especially this week as we come away from today's liturgy, because the Lord is calling us through all these scripture readings to be kind and merciful. So let's sing it together. The Lord is kind and merciful. And mothers, sing that song to your children tonight. Husbands, sing that song to your wives. Friends, if you're going home and you're in a car together tonight, sing it to one another and see if it doesn't change your way of living in the days that lie ahead. So the Lord is asking us in today's scripture readings to redefine ourselves, to be different from the world around us. In today's gospel, listen to what Jesus says. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? I mean, what Jesus wants us to be is to be unusual, to surprise people, which is to be the light of Christ in the world, We're supposed to be a light set on a mountain for the world to see. A light that shines because we live and think and then act after the mind and heart of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bring to perfection the good things He begins in us this evening.